Welcome to Wolfpack Women. We have Susie, my co-host today, and myself, Denise.
Hello.
And today we have Stephanie Onekwede.
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Nice to meet you.
Yes. She is a lawyer and negotiator based in Dallas, Texas, predominantly for social media influencers. Yeah. Welcome, Stephanie. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me.
I really love the fact that, to be honest, you're like the first woman I saw on Instagram that was a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, follow. So, I mean, this is like, obviously you're transitioning from corporate life. How has that been for you stepping into this new role? What made you kind of go in that influencer direction?
Yeah, it's been an exciting space because whenever you go into the legal direction, a lot of times you're told like, oh, you're not creative, or this is not a creative like industry. And so whenever I actually decided to go into the influencer world and create a platform and start creating pictures, I was just like, I was surprised of like how creative I actually was, and didn't realize how, like, I just kind of told myself that or assumed that for myself. So I've really enjoyed it because it's using like a different side of my, brain and like different skill sets that I have not used in a very long time. You asked how I got to the influencer industry. I got to the influencer industry because I was working with a lot of startups and a lot of company side, they use influencers. And so as I started, I'm on social media, I'm seeing things and I'm realizing like, man, there's a lot of influencers out there who are doing, big deals and making like careers for themselves, but they also do not know, there's a lot of people out there who are lack confidence in like what they're providing and their value. And because of that, they're, missing out on huge opportunities. And I wanted to be, a voice for them to let them know, like, this is a business, you can do it, you have the ability to do it. And so I started creating Advice by Steph and creating a whole bunch of informational posts to really help people, be knowledgeable in the space to negotiate their contracts, review their agreements and get those brand deals to, really help them create that career.
Wow. And do you find that like the advice that you give versus where they're at, is there like a massive discrepancy? Like, they really need your help.
Yes. And I find that a lot of times influencers don't realize how much help they need from me or from a professional in this space, because there's a lot of information out there, but there's a lot of incorrect information out there. And there's a lot of, there's just a feeling of like, I have to do this on my own. I need to do this on my own and like, I can figure this out. But when I talk to people and just, letting them know, like, look, I'm reading this contract that you signed and I don't even understand it. And I have years of experience and you signed this thing and it has like legal consequences for you. And it could potentially, if you violate some term that you don't even remember you signed or that you agreed to, it can be very costly for you. But oftentimes it has a lot more to do with, a lot less to do with the contract and a lot more of just to do with like the knowledge and understanding of like how, business works and like, how you have to advocate for yourself and stand up for yourself. So I love like there's a mix of the two. There's a mix of law and there's also a mix of just like education and empowering.
And what made you go into law in the first place?
I am a talker. I love reading. I love learning. And that was just kind of the avenue that I really liked. And I love, advocating for people. I felt like I was always confident to be able to use my voice. And so I saw myself more in like, like the criminal atmosphere and like really being in the courtroom. But then as I did law, like as I worked in the law, I didn't really like that, the day-to-day experience of that side. And so I found that I was able to find like a middle ground for me of being able to still advocate for people, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in the courtroom anymore. Although it is still in the courtroom, but other ways to do it too.
So I guess it's less of the objection.
Exactly. In a less official way.
And so how long would a process be with a client? Like when you take a client through a process, do they feel more and more confident in themselves, knowing that they're coming from more of a business, that they're taking more seriously? Like what is the emotional consequences for the client? Like, and how do you support them?
They often feel that quite quickly, probably in our first call, which is usually maybe 30 minutes to an hour, you can already tell that there's a change in their confidence and in how they're feeling, because a lot of times it's just a need to feel validated in some way, a need for somebody else to tell you you are enough, you are worthy, you are valuable. And having a call with me and just letting them know you have great content, this is what brands are paying for. Sometimes that alone is where a lot of the change is made, in just that initial conversation of breaking down what that person is doing and why that it's so valuable, and helping them understand what they are bringing to the table that sometimes you can't see because you get into your head and you're maybe I could take better pictures or have a better camera or something like that. But somebody from the outside is it looks good to me, whatever you're doing. So usually it's that first conversation that really helps people understand the value that they provide. And then when it comes to actually learning how to speak and advocate and negotiate for yourself, that can take, a few months, 3 to 6 months of really understanding the contract terms, what to push back, what not to push back, what's normal, what's standard. But the first step really is you have to be confident in what you're providing and what you're doing to be able to push back when a brand, tells you you're charging too much or, nobody ever asks for something like that. Just making sure that you can stand in what you're providing.
But also you have to be super confident, right? So how have you gone through this process of, learning and then coming across people in the work environment? Because I know from my own experience, when you're in that environment, you almost have to pretend, fake it till you make it. Absolutely. And then there's an element where that's where the whole, what's that syndrome?
Imposter syndrome.
So I'm not, and you don't come across like that whatsoever. So, how did you keep yourself really grounded and strong in your voice? Because it feels like that's, you've always been like that from day dot.
Definitely haven't not been like that from the beginning, and I think I still, I struggle with that, and we talked about it. For me, it's still a journey. But I think what took the biggest moment for me and the biggest element for me is working in the corporate world, and it's in just an atmosphere. Like you said, it's fake it till you make it, but you're questioning yourself about everything, and it's somebody's word has so much power to either make or break your day. And after feeling, feeling down about little things I could not control, or just learning little steps that I had to take to learn, I just kind of had to recognize I am smart, I am strong, I am valuable. What I provide is good, and I don't need other people to tell me that I'm worthy or valuable, especially in the influencer industry. You're not going to get that, but especially just in this environment, in this world, being a Black woman working in a law firm where I was one of the only Black females there, I was not going to get validated in the way that I needed. And so I had to do that for myself and recognize that I don't need the affirmations and the words of others, but I know what I've done and I know what I can provide, and just kind of really standing in that and pushing through, even on days where you're not feeling confident, telling yourself no, don't let people get into your head. You are a strong, valuable, worthy, confident person, and don't let others get in the way.
Where does that come from? Is that from your upbringing, or is that something that you felt you've had to do? That's really cool. I like that. So I don't think that's ever, I don't know, Susie, if you felt like that. It's not something, it's almost now other people's words don't affect me. And if they do, I know how to process it. But that's not an easy thing to do, what you've just said there. And it's not like, and that would normally take years of like taking shit before you really. So like, what was it that was like your light bulb moment? Do you remember it?
My light bulb moment. I think I've had quite a few light bulb moments, but you know, I think the biggest one I had was just being in the corporate world and just like, just crying from people, like from a hard work day and from what somebody said, just like sitting there and crying and then taking the moment and be like, what the heck am I crying about? Like, what does this person's word really matter? And I think after just like a cycle of that over and over and just like getting, whether it's like a deal I was working on and like having like some, you know, a lot of like negativity around it, I've just realized, I just didn't like that feeling. And I think, I don't know where it necessarily comes from, because I come from the same like mindset of like, I never really liked, you know, like drinking coffee or things like that, because I didn't like how things like took control of my body. And like the fact that I was allowing people to control my feelings and my emotions like really bothered me and just really had me like had to really look and like, I don't know, I think I'm very self-aware too, and really looking like, just like, this is not, you know, this is not a good way to go about just living life generally, whether I wanted to stay in the corporate world or anything. It just didn't, like, it wasn't, I had to make myself, I felt like I needed to make myself happy, whether that was quitting my job or just making sure I put myself in better situations. So I'm not really sure as much where it came from. Maybe it came from a little bit of my following, or my, like, growing up and, like, just, you know, my parents raising me about how, like, you know, making sure I knew, you know, my Nigerian heritage, that I'm very proud, that I come from a strong family, and just feeling like I did have a support system and a community behind me. And, you know, because I knew, like, a little bit of, because I knew what they saw in me and the sacrifices they made for me also pushed me to make sure, like, you know, this is, you are something special. You're something that you can do this.
You show great inner courage and strength, Stephanie, because I know also with me, with my background, but I was very, oh gosh, I guess I was quite controlled. So I salute you the way you've handled everything, because like Denise said, it's not easy to be in the corporate world and stand like a black person on your own and then have that kick-ass attitude, which you've got, which is fine. I love that attitude. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And to see you talk of how you stand there, stand in your power, you're standing in your ground. You know, you're allowing people to know. But what I've noticed about you and what I like is you've got a real good inner confidence about you. You know how some people in the corporate world, they kind of, I've seen lawyers in that, and they kind of melt down. I can't see that in you. You've got this inner strength that you stand tall and really confident in who you are as a person and what you do. And I salute that, because obviously you're following your passion, in my eyes you are, because you can tell in the way you've just, you know, you've said something that where a lot of people will have to say, oh, hold on a minute, that wasn't my first kind of. And I like how you said that, you know, your parents, Nigerian and whatever, you knew who you are and you're comfortable in your skin, you know. That's real belonging, taking ownership of who you are. I love it.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, especially in the US, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you're not like white and Irish, then it's I guess free game, right? To and so how do you deal with that on a day-to-day basis? How does that reflect on your sense of being, how you go about, like, does that make you feel even stronger to make your stance in the world, like, to be even stronger? To like, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think it helps when, at least for me, maybe it's just my personality type of like, just when you kind of feel like you're, you know, just like going about in the day to day, no direction. Like for me, it makes me feel like I have a direction and I have like, and so for the other stuff don't necessarily bother me or get in my way as much. Like I'm not, you know, that easily, you know, angered or like, wouldn't say easily annoyed. I can get annoyed, but I'm not like as easily, you know, interrupted or affected by the extra stuff that's happening because I have a direction that I want to go into. And I have not necessarily a plan because, you know, still like taking it step by step, but I'll just like feeling like I'm in a stronger direction and going towards, you know, what I feel is like my passion and what, you know, gets me excited. So it does, you know, give me a sense of like, okay, I don't have time for you. And to be able to confidently say that to people.
Yeah, you do have like, and I was saying this to Susie before I got on the call, that like you've got like a real strong leadership quality. And so when you're moved, like, what are your sort of next steps? What are you, how do you envisage yourself in the future?
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love what I've realized is that I absolutely love to educate and teach people. And so that's why creating Advice by Steph and creating my own business for myself and not necessarily depending on, you know, the corporate world has really put me in the right direction towards that. So I would really love to just continue to educate and teach people on different platforms, whether that just be on social media or whether that be through events, but really helping people see and learn more about themselves and the talents. I've always known, I used to, like when I was, I remember in college, I would like to, you know, like if people were, you know, paying the piano or painting or something like that, I just always like to sit there and like watch them do it. And they're like, oh, sorry, I have to finish painting or whatever they're doing. And I'm like, I love watching you in your art and in your space. And like, I don't know, I just see like a true beauty in somebody doing something they love. And that's what I kind of find in the influencer space. There's just so many different creatives and so many different artists. And when they start creating and doing their work, like I love just watching them and push in like, and just like, I don't have to say anything. I'm like, you're doing great in like helping people be able to create a path for themselves in that way where they're actually doing something that they love and that excites them is what I see myself doing. And I've just always loved watching people do that.
Yeah, I mean, there are some really amazing creators out there. And I guess the social media platform has changed that because it's kind of taken away from the norm of what is creative, and it's completely different. I know that from my husband, when he was doing like PR for car companies, they would get influencers in, and he'd just be fascinated by how they just know what their audience wants and how to create the, I mean, they're always on their phones, he said, how to create all of these amazing content that people just love. And so where does your creative spark come from when you started Advice by Steph, like what do you think? Was it being out of the corporate world that you were able to just feel like you were being yourself? Or what was it that kind of you felt like that's kind of opened the creative doors?
I think actually what initially started it, because I think I was a little fearful of like my creative side or that I could be creative. So I originally started like an Instagram account for my dog and taking pictures of my dog. And it was just easier to do it through that way, like showing him as like the creative. I'm taking the pictures, but like he's like the face and like not wanting to really be in like the face of things and just kind of like showing that light. And then just as I'm like, oh, I can take pictures or I like doing this stuff, I started like actually feeling like allowing myself to like open up to the ability to, like, oh, maybe I should take pictures, or maybe I should try videos, or maybe I should like, you know, shoot it. Maybe I should actually be in the picture or the video this time, and maybe I should try editing, and just allowing myself to experience these things. Because you know, at the end, like before this, it just wasn't anything I was even trying or even considering. You know, I saw people on Instagram taking great pictures and things like that, and like, you know, using their creative art and designing and like, whether it's fashion, makeup and beauty. And I'm just like, I'm a lawyer. That's, you know, that's not what we do. We're not creative. And just using that as an excuse. And then finally I stopped making excuses for myself. I'm like, you should try it. Like, you like watching people do creative stuff so much. Why don't you do something creative yourself? And so just putting myself out there and really getting myself out of my comfort zone, honestly, and understanding that, which is hard. I think it was hard for me at first, understanding that, like, if I'm not, like, I do the work and I'm not that great at it, it's okay. And it's okay if like things, if you fail and like, If you don't do it, you don't know if you'll fail or not. And like the fact that I was able to just push myself out of the comfort zone and, you know, I didn't fail and it felt good to do it.
I know that there's probably some people that think whether they're either, like almost like you said, like they're either, you kind of feel like they're either creative or they're not.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I was not creative, but actually I am. And Susie, she like is a real creator. Do you want to tell Stephanie about all your creations that you're writing? And she's looking at me like, what?
Well, I always used to, you know, I used to think about, I'm not creative because, but you don't think like that. But then somebody said to me, but you love cooking. And you forget even the simple things of getting a dish together. You know, it is creative. And then I realized more and more with my writing, but I stopped myself because when I was younger, you probably heard something critical. So you thought to yourself, oh, no, it's not. But as I've got older, I've realized that I've got a real good way of writing. And then obviously when I did some work with Denise, I created this kiddies book within 10 minutes. It was fantastic. You know, it's like a stolen childhood in like 10 pages. And, you know, so, and then I have all these visions of well-being centres and cruise ships. And I'm like, oh gosh, where am I going with all this? But that's your creativity now alive. It's capturing. Yeah. So it's amazing. So it's just dreaming on it and knowing that one day it's going to happen. It's there. If you can see the image, it's going to happen. I don't know when, but you know, I've not got a cruise ship in my garden yet, but it will happen.
I think cruise ships are probably not COVID safe for now.
That's true. Forget about
but, this is stationary. This is different. This is stationary.
Okay. Yeah, the whole creativity is one of these things you can't force. Like you can't come from your head. It has to really just kind of pop there, and then you respond. So do you feel like that happens when you're kind of like doing random things, like I don't know, taking the walk for dog for a walk, or I don't know, exercising or whatever, and then just like, oh, you know what, I should be doing this and I should be doing that?
Yeah absolutely, because I feel like that happened a lot, especially when it came to like coming up with ideas of what I wanted to do with Advice by Steph and like things I wanted to talk about. And like, you know, it would actually like you said, like walking my dog, or when I was like getting ready, like when you're just kind of, I think when your mind's a little bit at rest, it seems like, and then you just see like things popping up and I'm like, I need to start like carrying around a notebook, and I always had my phone, I'm like writing down little notes so I don't forget about it, and just like recognizing like, okay, like these are things that are popping your head, like they're not things to just be ignored, like actually, you know, at least take a moment to, you know, acknowledge them or like write it down so that you don't forget about it. So I think it was just like Susan was saying, like as like you, I opened up the door of being creative, it's just all of a sudden like things just like started coming out, and like different like talents and skills, and I'm like, wow, like I didn't even know I had all this in me, like this is like bigger than, better than I thought. So yeah, definitely once that door is open, just feeling like
it is like Pandora's box, but in a good way, right? So you're just opening up and then lots of stuff coming out. So what would you say to someone who is maybe in a corporate job, wants to get out of it? What, like, can you, like, I guess, sympathize with sort of emotions that they might be going through, maybe thinking they're not going to earn enough money? Can I do it by myself? But what advice would you give?
I think the biggest advice is just stop overthinking it and really just start and do it. Even if, like, obviously money is an issue and things like that, like, you don't want to just necessarily quit your job or anything like that. But there's little things that you can do to get you prepared, to get yourself out of the corporate world. If you don't like it, and I think people kind of know very early on, but then maybe you're like, you just kind of make excuses and you keep pushing on and like just hoping for like the next step will be better and the next step will be better. But I think you just really have to take a inner look of like, I don't like it, maybe because, and at least for me, it's because this is not the right fit for me. This is not where I belong. This is not where I see my true talents, you know, being used in a way that, you know, I actually enjoy, you know, using those talents. And so really taking those steps to like, take time to think about it, take those walks, and like, because sometimes it's just like the corporate world is just day to day to day to day, work, and you don't ever take a moment to actually sit and think about it, like, do I actually like this? What do I actually like doing? Like, how can I actually use my talents and my skills to do something that I really enjoy and like, and then do it and try it out. And like the first time you do it doesn't have to be like this $1 million thing. It's the first time you could do it, it can just be like a free thing that you do, and you see like, oh, this is actually fun. And then the next step after that, it's like, oh, let me see if people will charge, like I can charge for this or things like that. Like you don't necessarily need to run out and like quit your job in that moment, but you do need to, you know, take steps to get yourself into a happier and a better place where you're actually using your talents. There's so much more than this cookie cutter corporate world, and you don't realize how much you may be limiting yourself and limiting your your gifts and your gifts to this world that other people can really use and that could really change someone's life even because you're just kind of being like nervous or skittish. So definitely just, you know, do it. Just make a list, take those steps. I talk to a lot of influencers who like want to do something and it's just like, oh, but like next month or next Monday or, you know, next year. And it's like, just do it today. Just do at least one thing today to get you closer to your goal and to your dream.
That's good advice. And do you feel like when someone's within the corporate world, the energy is quite, obviously you're kind of, where you said the cookie cutter, where you're trying to fit into the way that they want you to be, right? So how do you go from that, where you're obviously feeling suppressed in some way? I guess from my point of view, if you're in that position, it would be good to be in that position and really use that space to clear your mind and be in that space and be happy in that space to then be like, okay, I can move on. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's okay to just leave as well, but I'm one for using external triggers to bring out so that you can actually be the best you can be in that position. And I know that from like clients I've got that work in the corporate world, it's there's lots of feelings of not being good enough, worried about what somebody's going to say in team meetings, not speaking up, all that sort of stuff. And where we've looked through, when we've worked through that, they've been able to come out the other side and go, actually, you know what? I'm not responding to this in any sort of emotion anymore. I'm looking at it from a logical point of view. And you actually start to see everyone else responding from their emotions, which has been like quite interesting because like as much as like we do a lot, we talk about a lot of emotions and stuff, but when we let go, you think that it's just emotions, but you're clearing that path to actually see what it is that, in this instance, what it is that you want to do, where you want to go, where you don't want to go as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've got a question after that. Just talk so much. Is it, you got anything to share?
I think, like you said, you know, I think we're so closed off from the world sometimes that we get stuck in that circumstance thinking that you can't move. You know, there's a lot of accountants, there's a lot of lawyers that think, I've got my qualification now, I've got to stay here. And they think they've got to be stuck like a tree in that position for the rest of their life. Nobody actually says, well, you can move that branch and do something else. Because it's like you're following patterns from years ago, isn't it? Because you've seen that pattern happen before. Oh, mum and dad are happy. They've got their job. But if I didn't have my job and I was just bumming around, I'd be like useless piece of person. But you're not. You're following what you believe is true for you. So I think I speak to sometimes in the corporate world, like lawyers and doctors, a couple of nurses and CPNs, and they'd always think they've got to be in that position. I think, why are you limiting yourself? You know, but then all of a sudden it's like, I've had to shift. So you're going to see more of it, but not a lot of people take that risk. They're so scared because the government seems to always glamorize fear and anxiety in people rather than it's good to do XXX. So I think some really good points there, really, to be fair.
Yeah. And I think a little bit to both of your points and Denise, to yours as well, is like, I love that it's kind of like in your moment and in your job, you also need to kind of recognize how to deal with that situation or understand how you're reacting in that situation. Because a lot of times when people are feeling stuck or feeling these negative thoughts, it has a lot to do with, you know, your reactions or how you're taking things, and you can't run away from that. You know, like if you don't like the people you work with or something like that, you you're not going to necessarily run away to people that you only like. Like, it's just, there's always going to be something people you don't like. If it's like how somebody is treating you, like really kind of understanding where those feelings and issues are coming from, before just kind of quitting your job and like running away from it, and just kind of taking that moment to, like, you know, Susie said, is like figuring out like, okay, maybe I'm just mad at myself for being stuck in this situation. And I haven't even taken a moment to really understand like why I'm on this path. Why am I so I'm frustrated with the path to, you know, become vice president or to become, you know, this thing, but I don't even actually want to do that in the first place. I'm actually just frustrated that this is my only option and I don't even want that. Things like I'm forcing things that, like, you know, they don't necessarily have to be forced and they don't necessarily have to be your goal. In the legal world, a lot of you are the corporate world, a lot of people are trying to become partner. And so it's a very frustrating process because, you know, as you get more senior, the more or less of a chance you become partner. And then, like, you know, random things start happening that you feel like it's getting in your way of partnership. But because it's just such a straight path, like it's like law school. Okay, then you get into the corporate world and then you stay there for 9, 8, 9, 10 years and you're supposed to become partner. Sometimes people don't even take a moment to think about, like, do I actually want to become partner? I'm so frustrated, but I haven't even, you know, it's 8 years, 9 years, 10 years later, and I actually don't even like what I do, but I feel stuck because I've never really thought through what, you know,
but then it's such a good point. And I guess that's where I was trying to go with it as well, where I guess the working environments now, especially like during this whole pandemic, everyone's working, like before, if you were a lawyer, you couldn't work from home, right? But now they are, right? Yeah. So there's certain expectations that people had, like you said, that process as a lawyer, that's what you did. But if a lot of lawyers then went and like niched out like you have and, you know, went and did this or did that, blah, 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 then it would actually be easier to find people that you could trust. Because I feel like that's the problem with lawyers. Like, well, you don't know who's good, who's not, who's good at dealing with one thing, who's good at dealing with another. And I think that would make lawyers, I guess, more approachable as well, like in terms of hiring them. Like, I don't know, maybe it's something that, I don't know if the influencers that come to see you, they only recognize that they need your help only once they've seen you. And like you said, they've already signed the contract. Whereas had they known that you were there to help them and that they needed you, it would be completely different. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I don't know if this is one of your points that you were also making, because when it comes to like lawyers making people, like making them more approachable, and like me being your first person that you've seen, or first lawyer that you've seen on Instagram, one of the things I did notice why a lot of influencers, it seems like, at least, I haven't asked all of them or anything, but it seems like a lot of influencers will, you know, will put themselves in a situation without going to lawyers because they find that as like not being able to trust a lawyer, seeing this as not approachable, or like, you know, really like feeling very scared to approach a lawyer. And so a lot of people, like, they're like very confused that I'm a lawyer. They're like, you're a lawyer? Are you sure? Like, are you actually a lawyer? But that's because I have put, like, I have put myself outside of the legal box and legal atmosphere, and, you know, just talking to regular people who are not in law and being able to have a conversation and, you know, to understand people and where they're coming from and understand that not everybody has, like, you know, the legal knowledge, and be very patient with people. And so that definitely has helped a lot too, just like putting myself out there and, like, you know, allowing people to know that I am available and that they can have access to somebody that is like somebody they can trust, that is similar and like them in a way.
Yeah, I mean, definitely need to speak to someone, because it's not, contracts are not one of those things that you can actually get somebody else to look at, you know, like bro science, you know, what's your take on an ab workout?
Yeah.
It's something you need to specifically know, right? Whether, like, what the terminology is, because contracts in itself are mind-boggling. I remember signing a contract with a work, and they... Basically, there was it was in Canary Wharf, and if I left that job, I couldn't work within a 10-mile radius. This is London, right? You're talking like, I couldn't even work from home. I was like, are you joking? That's never going to stick. So I just, like, I got, like, a job two doors down. But you know, I signed it because I was like, well, they're not going to change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, but they're not going to reinforce it either, because that's ridiculous. There's like common sense to that as well.
Yeah.
So is there certain things where, like, you've seen, you're like, what the hell? Like, you're actually taking the mickey by writing this in? Like, has there been anything like that?
You know, I think with contracts from brands, a lot of times it's just written in a way that's super favorable to them, like just not even taking consideration of the influencer. And like, that was something that I'm not as used to, because when you're working with like the corporate side, you're working with, you know, business to business, company to company. And so there's at least some recognition of like, I'm not going to try put this provision in there because I know that, they won't agree to this. This doesn't seem like very friendly, and good faith, things like that, to put something in there, but that's just like kind of out the door when it comes to influencers. So, you know, they'll just be provisions in there, whether it's like an exclusivity provision or like an ownership provision or something like that, where it's, for me, those are probably the most extreme for me, because I think that's where, especially when it comes to like ownership, because that is like the influencer's like money maker, their, you know, like what, you know, creating content is like a huge piece of like, you know, what they bring to the table. And so if you're asking to own it from, like, you take it from them, you're not willing to pay for it. It's just like, to me, it's like a very big dig that a lot of brands do not care, you know, that they're doing to influencers, and that really gets into like influencers' heads. So it's like, has a lot to do with like how much people are offering to them and what they're requesting for influencers. I think it's just a lot of disrespect in that way.
How do you communicate that? How do you negotiate that? Like, I can just imagine like the whole suit scenario, you know, just do you like what goes off? <It's not like that.
laughs> I mean, a lot of it is just is having to like stand your ground and saying, you know, this is too low. This is how much I like would typically charge for something like this, and letting them know, like, this is just like not, this is not okay. A lot of times what happens is that if a brand tells an influencer, like, you know, look, I'm willing to pay you $100, it starts making the influencer think like, oh, like maybe I was going to charge $1,000, but maybe I should charge like $200 and $300. So it's like, can, you know, at least get us to like, it can at least get us to like a closer ground where they're willing to accept. And it makes you just completely stop thinking about like how much you think you're valued at, or like what exactly you it was worth your time to create that content, and you're more trying to please the brand. I've had it with like probably like ridiculous agreements where a lot of influencers have agreed to, is like a lot of their agreements out there who are like basically like, you're gonna give me everything, you're gonna give me a license, you're gonna give me ownership, you're gonna like anytime, like I have the right to use your content in any way, and then like I may, as the brand, give you, what's the word, acknowledgement of it, or basically tag you of some sort. I'm thinking of the name of like, but they're not obligated to do anything. And so for me, I'm like, is that actually, if that was taken to court, is that actually a binding agreement? Like usually to like, there needs to be like consideration, and both parties have to like giving up something, like be giving something and to make it a binding agreement. And so when only one party is giving something and the other one is like a promise to maybe potentially do something for you, I'm like, I don't know if that's actually a binding agreement. I don't know if you actually need to, if you realize you sign something bad and they're like asking for too much. I'm like, I don't actually know if they can really take you to court with that agreement, because that's just a little fishy. But little things like that, like an influencer would probably not think of without like having an attorney read it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I've been talking about this last couple of weeks, is it's almost like an exchange of energy, right? I'm doing something for you, you do something for me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so Absolutely. Sometimes like I feel like that gets missed when it's like big companies, and they just try and like, they just think their name is just enough to carry them through. Exactly. But then that's like, I guess these bigger brands are just, I don't know how easy it is to negotiate with them to be able to get what you want. But yeah. I guess there are people at the end of the day on the other end of that are just doing what they're told.
Right. Yeah. And if they're not, you know, you have to be willing and be confident in what you're providing enough to be able to just walk away from it. You know, there's a difference between if you're buying like an iPhone or you're downloading an app you can't negotiate that. Like, there's just like, you either want the app or you don't. And like, you know, whatever, they're like, we're taking all your information. This is like, you know, we have access to everything. Like, it's, they're not going to, if you come back and you're going to, you say, I have these changes to it, they're going to be like, don't download our app. Don't buy our iPhone. Don't, what, you know, whatever. But when it comes to these partnerships, that's a different ball game, and that's like, that's completely different. And especially if it's something that's really, you know, valuable and creative to you, and you're creating them specifically for, customized for that brand, you know, you have negotiation power. They need you too. And so, you know, recognizing that, you know, it may be that they're just not willing to budge, but then you're not willing to work with them. And having the ability and the confidence to say that is hard. It's hard, but it has to be done at some point, or else you just kind of, you know, you get taken advantage of in the space, because, you know, if you're willing to, you know, they're going to get whatever they can out of you a lot of these times.
This is something that I tell a lot of clients, is not to force, not to push, especially if they've got that energy. When it comes to signing these contracts, can you sense that when you're, maybe the client is actually pushing, like wanting more and more and more, trying to force it, trying to make things happen, does that often like fall apart then? Or can you sense the energy of your client and what the outcome is going to be quite a lot of the time?
Oh, oftentimes. And I can usually tell, even if like I wasn't even a part of like what's going on in the negotiation, if somebody, a lot of times people like may DM me or message me, and they just kind of give me like a high level overview of like, you know, where they started, where it ended, maybe like a number, or like just how they're, you know, emailing me, and like just from going there, I can already tell like how the situation happened. And it, like you said, it was forced. It was like they try to really push it to make it happen. And like at the end of that, you are not happy with what you agreed to. And you are probably, you know, you put yourself in a situation where you're doing more work, or you are just like, you don't feel good about it. Like you feel like you've really got taken advantage of. And a lot of it's because of like that forcing it. Like, you know, the brand clearly wasn't showing interest in like working with you in that way, or paying you, or showing you that they valued you. And so when you continue to be like, I'm going to prove it to them, and I'm going to prove myself to them, at the end of it, I already know how it's going to go. It's like you end up being the unhappy person, and it's not, you know, going to be, yeah, maybe you get the excitement of like, yeah, I worked with this brand, but you don't have a good, you know, feeling about it, or a good, you know,
yeah,
taste about it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really coming from a negative place, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you don't, when you're in the moment and when it's all happening, you're like, whatever, I just want to do it. But then when you actually take a moment afterwards, or when you're actually sitting down to do the work, you're like, what did I agree to? What do I have to do? And I get that. I get a lot of influencers who I'm like, you know, it's too, like you said, they come to me, they signed a contract, they already did the work. And it's almost like after the fact where they're like, you know, I'm like, so how did you, like, why did you agree to that? Because you agreed to that. Nobody was forcing you to do it necessarily. Like, you know, you have the ability to walk away. This is over email. So you definitely can just be like, no, thank you. And it's not even like face to face or anything. And, you know, it's like, it's just a way of like, I don't know, I just felt like I had to do it, or I just wasn't thinking about it, or something like that is usually like the reason behind it. But it's usually not a happy ending for that one.
Not thinking, that's well, sometimes it's too much thinking than not thinking, just getting caught up in the excitement, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, the name, like just like being so excited about like, oh, I get to work with this brand. Like a lot of times, just because it's a big name, it can take that brand very far. But it's still, you know, no matter if it's a small name brand or a big name brand, or like, you know, somebody who just started a business yesterday, you still have to do the work, and like that takes time and energy, and you want to make sure you feel valued. So, you know, it's exciting, but just taking a pause. Get excited, but take a pause for a moment.
Yeah, I guess with influencers, you don't know when the next job is coming from. Everything is quite unstable, unless they've got like a decent platform and they've got some sort of income. You're just relying on random swipe ups. Like, I don't know how successful that is.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's where like a lot of the mindset stuff comes from, because you're like, well, if I don't take this deal, then I don't want to know when the next one is coming. But if you're continuing to work with brands that don't value you, then you're just kind of wasting a lot of time and energy, and you don't have time for the brands that do value you and do really, you know, would really benefit from working with you. So that's why, you know, maybe don't quit your job immediately, because it's a lot easier to work with brand and like with influencers who don't necessarily depend on the money first before you actually jump into like this doing this full time. But although it's actually interesting because there are influencers I work with that don't actually depend on the money, but they will still accept things that like they're not happy with at the end of the day, because they just forget. They're just like in the moment and they're like, I don't know why I agree to that.
Common sense. Exactly.
I think you made a really good point there, though, about how so many companies and people out there just do not value people. They take them left, right, and centre. So I guess this like emotions thing is teaching people to value themselves first, because then they are going to places in that way, because that's the only way you're going to teach people that, you know, because they are. I mean, people don't give two hoots now, do they? I think it's always been like that, but I think just listening to you talking, it was like, oh my gosh, it's something to teach people to actually value themselves,
right?
And then know that person, or and then they'll know instinctively that, you know, that's the company I want to go for, because I sense or I feel something.
Right, exactly. Because a big thing that I do teach is that before you even communicate with the brand. Is that you should know how much you are valued at yourself, and you should not necessarily wait for a brand to tell you how much they're willing to charge before you know how much you want to be charged, because then that's when you just kind of get it in your head, like, oh my gosh, like if they're saying I'm only valued at 100, then maybe I'm only actually valued at $100, and like you're getting that in your head about like how much you believe you're worth and how much you think you're actually valued at. It's not up to the brand. It should not be the brand's responsibility to put that number on you.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel like you should accept it. And so if you don't do that beforehand and you just wait, that tends to be when you walk away unhappy, because you didn't even have a starting place in the first place. Like you didn't even know, you know what you thought about yourself before somebody told you about what they thought of you.
I think my biggest concern is that when you see young people on it and they're really getting took the mick out of, is the fact that, you know how popular Instagram is now, and somebody could message them and say, I want you to be an influencer, and they may have never been anything like that before. And they think, oh, they wanted, they needed, you know, that need that everybody has to be accepted and loved and whatever. So they start making themselves look for that brand rather than the other way around. And that's what I'm saying. That's what we've got to watch out for, you know, like the younger generation, that it's so easy for them just to think, oh, you know, nobody's paying attention. Then all of a sudden they're in a new world, which is just, you know, it's like modeling, anything like that, isn't it? I mean, they're the same. So, you know, actors, actresses, but I know we've all got to start somewhere, but I think it's a really, really interesting job that you do, especially influencers, because it's becoming a bigger market now for influencers. And it's nice to know that you're out there doing great work, because I wouldn't even know where to start. Not that I'm an influencer.
I mean, it was what you mentioned before we started recording about the hacking of the accounts and stuff, like the influencers are more and more vulnerable now as well, like as much as, well, I mean, vulnerable very much so in so many different levels. Obviously, they have to have the mental capacity to take any sort of verbal exchange for people, positive or negative, as well as like the whole being seen and being judged, whatever it may be. And plus the whole hacking, then their whole livelihood might just go like a blink of an eye. Have you dealt with anything like that, or experienced anything?
I've not personally dealt with it, but yes, I know that it's a huge issue, because as I teach people like this, your audience and the content and things that you're building is valuable, or it is like, it's your, I don't want to say trade secrets in a way, because that's kind of a legal world to say it, not really trade secrets, but it's just kind of like what makes you so valuable. And so because of that, you have to remember your need as a business now to protect yourself. And so when it comes to whether it's like, you know, being hacked, or whether it's like a brand you know, using, taking and using your content as their own without your permission, or whether it's signing contracts and making sure that you are protecting yourselves. Like, all these things are how you as an influencer need to protect your business and make sure you're taking that into consideration, like when you are starting this. So all the little security steps that you can take to make sure that your account can't get hacked and taken, because once, you know, if they take your audience and they're like, you know, asking, you know, you for a certain amount of money for your password and all that stuff, you're just in this point of desperation. But there are things you can do to kind of protect yourself, whether it's like creating the passwords that are stronger, or, you know, when it comes to, you know, making sure people that are using your photos, making sure, like, as soon as you see that they're using your photos without your permission, letting them know, like, you need to take this down and you need to, like, pay me for this, like protecting your business, because those are those things that make it so valuable. Just like if you were a store owner and you had a business, you would have insurance, you would have locks on your door, you would take those little steps to make sure you're protected. And so oftentimes when you come to the influencer world, you're like, this is just for fun, and so you don't really necessarily take those preventative steps before, like, you know, a disaster like that happens.
Yeah, that's a good point, because again, it all kind of goes back to people not realizing their value, right? And if it was a shop, you wouldn't leave the door open, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
Well, it's some things you can't prevent. So, like, you know, if they happen, like, then you kind of have to deal. But like you said, if it's leaving the door open, your shop, there are steps there.
Do they have to have actually business insurance, or like...
For influencers?
Yeah, is that a thing?
I don't know an influencer that does, but you probably can. I don't know if it would, like, be as helpful for you. But whether that's just, maybe not in the case of insurance, but maybe just in the password that you take, that you create, and like the two-factor step for signing in, so that, like, you also have to confirm on your phone that this is you, so it just can't be some random third party taking your account, little things like that. Like, that's kind of insurance in a way. I'm sure an insurance company would love to take your money for this, but I don't know if it's necessarily worth it for you. Yeah.
They'll never pay you probably as well.
Exactly. So you'll never get that payment.
They have to scare somebody, don't you? They have to scare somebody over something and say, you need insurance for that.
Exactly. I just made, if there's not insurance for it, I probably just gave an insurance.
Yeah, you have.
Well, I got insurance the other day to send a letter, a special document, to make sure it was delivered to the passport office. And it didn't get there. So what was the point of that?
I know.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. Is there anything else that you'd like to share? Anything important that kind of you feel like it springs to your mind that you're like, you know what, this is my final message? No.
I think the final message is kind of like to the point that I had about making sure to protect yourself. In the influencer industry, there's a lot of like miscommunication or misinformation out there. And if this is your business and this is something that you really see yourself providing, you know, it's not all about the money at the end of the day. That helps, but really that you provide value to your audience and you really provide information and support and whatever you do. You know, invest in that, whether it's making sure to take the time that you need to to create the content that is like really going to be valuable to the audience. Don't try to shortcut it, and be very patient with yourself, because this industry is booming, as Susie said. It's like, you know, really, you know, growing, and there's although it may feel like everybody's in it now, if you do the right steps when you're setting that foundation, it can, you know, it can really set yourself in the right way.
Thanks for listening, and if you've got any questions for Stephanie, I will put your link in the description, and they can come and message you on Instagram.
It's been a pleasure meeting you, Stephanie. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.